Chapter 2. Essie. Essie was trapped in the prisons below the Cape Coast Castle, and had been for the last 2 weeks. The dungeon was full of crying women, and the smell was horrible. Next to her, a woman and her baby were crying. Essie did not blame them. She wanted to cry too. The door to the dungeon was pulled open, and a soldier came in. He shouted orders at them and pushed more women in. The dungeon was full, but the soldiers kept bringing more women. It was hard for Essie to believe that 2 weeks ago she had been living a happy life in her Ashanti village with her mother and father. Now she was in the dungeon, and she did not know what would happen to her. Essie was the daughter of Big Man, the best fighter in her Ashanti village, and Mame, his third wife. Their village was small, but because of Big Man, it was growing quickly. Big Man successfully led the village in many wars, often bringing back goods and prisoners in cages. The prisoners interested Essie. When her father returned from fighting, he would put the prisoners on show in the center of the village for everyone to look at. Some of the prisoners would be taken by the villagers as servants to cook and clean for them, but there were always a lot left behind. After a while, Big Man would take them away. "Mama, what happens to the prisoners after they leave here?" Essie asked Mame one day when they were cooking. "Don't worry about it, Essie," said Mame. "You're a girl. You don't need to think about it." Essie dropped some vegetables into the pan, and hot oil jumped out and burned her mother's leg. Mame was very frightened of fire. "Be careful," she shouted. "Fire is very dangerous." Mame had never chosen a prisoner to be her servant, but Big Man wanted her to. "A servant girl could help you with the cooking," said Big Man. "Essie already helps me," said Mame. "Essie is my daughter," said Big Man. "She shouldn't be cooking and cleaning." "Fine," said Mame. "Essie and I will choose a girl tomorrow." They chose a girl and named her Abronoma. She was shy and scared, and was not good at cleaning or cooking. She spilled oil and did not know how to brush away dirt cleanly. "She's useless," said Mame to Big Man one day. "We have to take her back." Big Man laughed. "Take her back where? Don't be silly. You just have to train her." Big Man turned to Essie. "Go get my stick." "No," said Mame. Big Man stared at Mame in shock. He could not believe that she would challenge him. "Did you say no?" Mame looked frightened. "She's my servant girl. I should be the one to beat her." "Fine," said Big Man. "But tomorrow, I want her to carry a bucket of water on her head across the compound without spilling a drop. If she can't do it, I'll take care of it. Do you hear me?" Mame nodded and took Essie to their hut to find Abronoma sleeping. Mame woke her up and told her to stand up. She held the stick in her hand, then turned to Essie. "Please, go outside." Essie left the hut. She could hear the stick hitting Abronoma's skin. She could also hear two people crying. The next day, the whole village came to see if Abronoma could successfully carry the water. "She'll never be able to do it," shouted Big Man's first wife.
"Watch, she'll spill it and drown herself," laughed her son.
Abronoma walked across the compound outside their huts, careful not to spill a drop. She walked around a tree at the end of the compound, then turned back to return to Big Man. As she got closer and closer to finishing, Essie could see the smile on her face. As she lifted the water off of her head, Abronoma's hand slipped, and two small drops of water fell to the ground. "Please," said Mame to Big Man. "She did well. It was a small slip."
But Big Man did not listen to her. This time, Abernoma did not cry. "If he didn't beat her, everyone would think he was weak," said Essie. "Weak," said Mame. She looked at Essie with anger in her eyes. "Yes," said Essie. "I can't believe my own daughter is talking like this," said Mame. She looked disgusted with Essie. "You don't even know what it means to be weak." Essie was hurt. She wanted to apologize to her mother, but Mame had already left the hut. Essie went to leave too, but then Abernoma woke up. Essie saw that she had open wounds on her back. "Go away," said Abernoma. "I'm sorry for what happened," said Essie. "My father is a good man." Abernoma laughed. "My father was a big man too, you know. And now look at me. Look at what your mother was." "My mother?" Abernoma looked at Essie in surprise. "You don't know?" Essie shook her head. "Your mother was a slave for a Fanti family," said Abernoma. "Just like I am for you, Ashanti people. You're not your mother's first daughter. She had another daughter before you. Another chief's daughter. But you know what they say about separated sisters? They're like a woman and her reflection, and they can never meet." Essie wanted to ask Abernoma more about her mother, but Mame walked back into the room. Essie left Abernoma alone. She thought about her mother being trapped in a cage and about the sister she would never know. Essie tried to become friends with Abernoma. Every evening, once Abernoma had finished cleaning, Essie would ask her more questions about her mother's past. "I don't know anymore. Leave me alone," screamed Abernoma. But Essie still tried to be her friend. "What can I do?" "Fine," said Abernoma after she became tired of listening to Essie beg. "Contact my father and tell him where I am. If you do that, then I'll be your friend." "I'll do it," said Essie. Early the next morning, before Mame had woken up, Essie went to see a man who lived on the edge of the village. He delivered messages across the land from village to village. Essie told the man what Abernoma had asked, and he agreed to pass on the message as he traveled. When she returned home, Essie told Abernoma what she had done. Abernoma was so happy, she hugged Essie tightly. "Are we friends now?" asked Essie. "Yes," said Abernoma, still hugging Essie. Essie hugged her back and tried to imagine that she was hugging her sister. Essie's village was attacked a few months later. Nobody had been expecting it. Since Big Man had become the best fighter in the village, no other village had been brave enough to challenge them. "Quick!" shouted Big Man to Mame once he realized what was happening. "Take Essie and run into the woods." He ran out of the hut. "Come on, Mama," said Essie. But Mame did not move. "I can't do it again," said Mame. "Do what?" asked Essie. "I can't do it again," said Mame quietly. "No more woods. No more fire." Suddenly, Abernoma came running in. She was laughing and looked happy. "My father is here! My father is here!" She did a dance and laughed again before running out of the hut. "Mama, we need to go," said Essie. Mame shook her head. Instead, she took Essie's hand and dropped something into it. "I've been keeping this for you." It was a black stone. "I left one like this for your sister. I left it with Baba after I started the fire." "My sister?" asked Essie. Now she knew that Abernoma had not lied to her. Mame nodded. "Now go, Essie, quickly." Essie hugged her mother one last time, then turned and ran out of the hut. She ran into the woods as fast as she could, and quickly climbed a tree. While her village was being destroyed, Essie hid in her tree for as long as she could. After a while, her arms began to ache. She could see people on the ground below her. A man shouted something at her, but Essie continued to hold on. The man threw a rock at her, then another, and then another. Essie cried as the rock hit her fingers and she fell to the ground. Essie and the other prisoners were taken to a Fanti village. They had been walking for days, and her feet were bleeding and bruised. Once they arrived at the village, Essie and the prisoners were taken to a dark room and given some disgusting food. Essie ate it because she knew it would be a long time before she ate again. Soon, men came into the room. "Are these the slaves you've brought us?" one of the men asked. "Chief Abeiku," another man said, "we shouldn't be doing this. The Ashanti are our friends." "It's simple, Fifi. The Ashanti have enemies," said Chief Abeiku. "And the enemies will pay us more. This is how you build a village. Do you understand?" Essie watched as the one called Fifi shook his head. He left the room and came back with some white men. "Governor James," said Chief Abeiku, "what do you think? The Ashanti are very strong, aren't they? Fifi, show them." Fifi and the other men started to undress the prisoners. When Fifi reached out to pull her skirt, Essie spat in his face. Fifi paused and then hit Essie across her face. He was a strong man, and Essie fell to the floor. As she fell, she saw the stone her mother had given her fall out of her pocket. Essie lay on the floor until the men turned away from her. As soon as she was certain they were not looking at her, Essie picked up the stone and swallowed it. Essie passed the stone on her first day in the dungeon. She buried it in a corner so she could find it again later. But now, the dungeon was so full of women that their waist went all the way up to Essie's ankles. There had never been so many women in the dungeon before. It was horrible, and Essie could hardly breathe. The door to the dungeon was pulled open again, and some more soldiers walked in. The soldiers looked around and began choosing women. One soldier chose Essie and dragged her out of the dungeon. She tried to fight him, but she was too weak to even spit at him. The soldier took Essie to his bedroom, and Essie knew what he wanted from her. Essie closed her eyes and tried to imagine she was back home in her village. Once the soldier was finished, he took her back down to the dungeon and left her there. The dungeon door opened a final time for Essie. She recognized one of the men who entered the room. He was one of the white men from the Fanti village, Governor James. He walked through the dungeon, inspecting the women and pointing at them as he walked. He chose 20 women and finally, Essie. "Take them," said Governor James. A soldier reached out to drag Essie toward the door. "No!" shouted Essie. She remembered the stone her mother had given her. She had to get it. "I need my stone!" But the soldier did not listen. He pulled Essie out of the dungeon, carrying her over his shoulder to stop her from running away. Governor James and the soldiers took Essie and the women into the light and down to the ocean, where ships waited for them.